Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another video game review. This one's going to be for Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, which is the remake slash remaster, I'm going to put that in quotation marks, of Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. I'm your host, Matthew, and we're going to start a spoiler free. I'm going to do a spoiler section later, but it's not going to be breakdown one. It's going to be just whatever it's going to be. Anyway, let's stick to the basics first. Let's go to our rating system. We've got strong, must play. Must play, don't skip, possible skip, skip, and hard skip. Now, I finished this game on Wednesday night, just after we finished our Breaking Bad podcast. I only had like an hour left. It's now Saturday night, because I wanted to take a little bit of time, you know, think about the game and all that kind of stuff. No, it was Thursday night I finished it. Yeah, because we did Breaking Bad Thursday this week. My apologies. Thursday to Saturday, anyway. I really struggled to pick a rating system for this one, which makes it interesting, but because I try to think about, particularly with a video game, when you've got, you know, gameplay to consider and not just footage on a screen. Not to dumb TV and films down, but you don't interact with them or control them, you just watch them. So when it comes to reviewing video games, you have to take into account, you know, all the other bits and pieces when it comes to the actual game itself. I'm going to give this game a skip rating, and I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. I found this whole experience very, very frustrating, and there's a few different elements to that essentially collide with each other and get in the way of each other. The number one thing which really, really got in the way of this game being much better is the fact that you, as Konami, decided to finally wake up and actually remake this game. And I believe they did this one first because of chronological order. So you put in the actual effort to go and remake slash remaster this game, but you didn't remake it enough. What you essentially do have here is the, I don't think they changed any of the script or any of the cutscenes or anything else like that. I don't think that they did. The original story, which Kojima is credited in, which is good. And then almost the exact same gameplay style and pretty much the same controls, but with two different viewpoints. One of which being the classic top-down-ish sort of thing where you can still take cover and that kind of thing. And then you aim in first person. And then what I would describe as a very half-assed, modern, I'll use modern in quotation marks because it's not really, modern third-person action style where it's, you know, over the shoulder, but a bit more zoomed back, or zoomed out, whatever. With the game still being stuck with the old animations. So rather than doing this properly and giving proper third-person modern-day 2025 controls, which is what this game should have done, you then have this very awkwardly played game, at least I found it awkward to play, where you've got a strange cover system, you've got like these very awkward animations in terms of, like, you know, crouching I didn't find to be too bad, but the overall sense of the controls being very, very odd. Essentially, you've got a PS2 game with a camera change option and modern day graphics, and it's very, very annoying to me that this game is in this weird middle ballpark where it's like, okay, we changed a couple of things. We didn't really make a modern remake of this game, which is what you should have done, because we've left some old stuff in there. because I would have almost preferred if this game was worse or better, because it being in this middle situation for me is very frustrating in terms of, you could have really taken this, given this game some much, much better controls. You didn't even need to do anything with the story, so that's where you save a bunch of time, which to me makes remakes kind of easier to do, because you don't have to make a story, because you already have one. Unless you have to do something like, you know, record slightly new lines or whatever, but I don't think that happened here. For a game that is, yeah, just, it's an old game with a new camera. Stuck in an old game. It's really frustrating to me, and yeah, it's things like taking cover, waiting for an enemy to come up to you, but you can't directly grab them from cover. And then you have this very awkwardly implemented CQC thing where, because Robert kind of pointed out when I was talking about this on Gaming Talk, that the controls sound kind of awkward, and that's because they are. So what you almost have to end up doing is making sure an enemy doesn't see you before they come around cover, because you can't grab them slightly before that. You peel yourself away from cover, activate if you need to the L1 stealth mode, which turns the game from being too fast to too slow. And then if you want to do the CQC and grab them and do the, okay, the great options with like grabbing them and interrogating them, and you can then choose to choke them or kill them, that's very cool, and you can drag them around and that's really good. But make sure you don't move the left analog stick at all while you're holding down R2 for CQC, because we can't do this in a way of having you just press a grab button. You also cannot push enemies off of ledges unless you pick them up and slowly drag them towards the edge, which you can't sort of do unless you sort of craftily do it. I was just so annoyed by the controls in this game and the fact that you actually bothered to do something with it and then you just completely half-assed it. It's just, just really, really frustrating. Because I remember when, like, you know, this game was on its way out, Silent Hill F had been announced, Silent Hill 2 had come out to some little bit of mixed reception, but more positive than negative. And I remember talking with Robert on the podcast, on our Gaming Talk at the time, and I was like, I wonder if this is Konami finally waking up. But it's so frustrating, because I've heard like mixed things as well about Silent Hill F, and I've been watching Park and Harbor's VOD, because I'm not going to play the game, but I'm curious to see what it's like. It's like a cut down 2-hour version of her playing the game, and she had some frustrations with it, and it looks like a bit of a frustrating game to play. But anyway, that's other Konami stuff. And it's like, have you woken up to the point of like, it's really frustrating, because it's like, okay, you finally woke up and decided to start making some games again. Great. But can you just do them? I didn't need this game to fall under my personal file of a strong must play and a 10 out of 10. I didn't need it to be that good. But It especially with a stealth game, because with like more of an action game, you can be a little bit more loose with certain controls because things are a bit more chaotic, which is what this game can turn into, and it feels very unsatisfying when you, if you do that. But when you're trying to encourage me to do like CQC takedowns and grabbing enemies and interrogating them and dragging them into the into grass and be stealthy with camos and stuff, it's just frustrating that you don't give me better controls and more sort of stable controls in terms of, why isn't there just a grab button in this game? If I want to do a CQC and push an enemy on the ground, maybe you can give me a different button, and not in terms of like, oh, you slightly press the left stick because you were moving forward towards the enemy and holding R2 to press CQC. Therefore, Snake's going to push them on the ground, possibly alert a guard near you. They're going to come over, and Hell can very easily and very quickly break loose in this game, and that was really frustrating as well. And just, I think I listed a bunch of them on the podcast. I felt like I sort of half reviewed that game already because I was so near the end of it and I had so much to say there, so I felt like I've already said some of these things. But yeah, I started listing like modern. Some of them weren't even modern. Some of them were a bit older things, like, you know, Splinter Cell. I mean, we haven't had a Splinter Cell game for 12 years. It will be 13 years by the time we even get close to the next one. I think of how easier some things are to do in similar modern third-person games, like grabbing an enemy and it, just like. I get that. Maybe you just wanted the game to be more challenging, but there's challenging and there's awkward. There's challenging mixed with, I don't feel like I'm completely always in control of what I'm actually doing. Therefore, my ability to do it better is being hindered by these controls because it's just awkward to play. But if you give me a game where I feel like I'm more in control of what I'm doing, I can therefore get better at it. Like simple things like grabbing enemies in a stealth game. That's honestly one of my main big gripes of this is, because that's what the kind of the controls come down to. Because you almost get encouraged in this game as well when it's like, okay, you've got the pistol and then the tranquilizer gun, and then okay, if you use them two without the silencer, all hell's gonna break loose. But then the game specifies to, like, okay, you've got very limited silencer health because it can break, because for some reason someone called Solid Snake or John or whatever isn't given a proper silencer that doesn't break. So it's like, even if you get into situations where it's sort of, oh, I could pick off this enemy and pick off this enemy from distance and manage the situation, the game very heavily encourages you to do things like lay in bushes with camo, wait for the enemy to come over, CQC, grab them. And that's why I'm going on so much about the CQC stuff, because it plays such a massive part in this game. And okay, granted, I got a bit more used to it towards the end. It still didn't ever completely feel like I was sort of, okay, the enemy's on their own, I can definitely grab them with no problem. But I've got myself into a situation where I can grab the enemy because I've gone the right way or managed the situation well or whatever. I just felt so frustrated by it. And don't get me wrong, if you do want to, like, burn through your silencer stuff and you do want to kill people and you do want to use a trank gun, it's easier that way. But the game almost, it's like, yeah, you can use it, but it's limited, so be really careful with it. And it's almost to the point where, like, if an enemy does spot you, like, that's almost your emergency situation out of it, because they spotted you, but quickly, before they can alert anybody, you do a tranked shot to the head, and that will keep them quiet. And that's kind of the solution, because there's almost no point, unless you don't mind being on alert and then, you know, stealthily getting back into situations, there's almost no point using things like grenades or assault rifles or anything else. Those are for, like, the action set pieces. So yeah, just very, very frustrating. And also just things as well, like, let's say for things like animals or enemies that you're able to stab, it's like, okay, then you have to specifically equip your knife, then hold L2 to look at them, and then press and hold R2 in the right situation to kill the thing properly. Why don't you just give me the option to, like, okay, equip the knife and just press R2 to kill the thing? Yeah, it's I just found it very awkward to play, and I don't know if that was intentional. I don't know if that was supposed to be a challenge, but again, I can deal with a challenge if it's a case of I feel like I'm in control of what I'm doing, but I don't always. So, damn. Anyway, that's kind of the gameplay to me covered, really. I don't really have much else to say about it. One thing I did like, which was seen as awkward by some people, and I get why, but I found it to be an interesting mechanic, is the healing stamina food system. Now, the cure system did get a little bit too finicky. It's like, oh, you've been shot, you gotta click on four things again, go back to the battle again. That was good, but it wasn't really implemented very well. Because there was just too many, like, oh, wait a minute, in the middle of the battlefield, Snake's gonna, like, get a knife, cut the thing out, ointment, bandage, septic, whatever. So I liked that system, but it was a bit too frequent to me. Unless I just got shot too many times. The food system, however, I do think is very interesting. I prefer it in Metal Gear Solid 1, where it's just kind of, okay, if you equip your rations in the left slot and you've got three of those, and then when your health goes down, it refills because your ration's there. That's simpler and better, I suppose. But here it's kind of, okay, you've been doing a bunch of stuff, your stomach will start growling or whatever, grumbling, whatever, and you have to eat some stuff, and then you have the whole time thing, which is interesting, and that kind of made sense as well. So I did like that system. Again, got a little bit frequent towards the end in terms of when you get into heavier situations and you gotta use lots of stamina and stuff, but I thought that was implemented relatively well and was a bit more manageable, as opposed to the whole cure thing, which I didn't think was as manageable because that was a bit too frequent to me. So there's that stuff. What was the other bit I was going to talk about, which I found interesting? I didn't mind actually the way this game was laid out in terms of you got two things that are clashing a little bit, which is the mini area situation where it will save your game if you go into a new area. I actually found that quite helpful in certain situations, but the actual like manual save system where was an paramedic, I think it is, starts talking to you, and it's always about films and stuff, which is great Kojimaism. I'll talk about the Kojima stuff for in a minute. I don't remember it actually working properly. So whenever I did have to close this game for whatever different reason or whatever, I almost kind of made sure I found the different areas just so that it would make sure it would auto save. So, while I do think it may have been better to kind of okay, would it have worked better in a way of it's a full open world, there's no areas, and you can save at any point? It's arguable that because you can save at any point, unless you're not detected anyway, that the area option I found to be just much more reliable than saving in the open world. So I actually found that to be kind of helpful, and I got a decent sense of progression. Yeah, I got a decent sense of progression with that as well, in terms of that you'd move into. It's a bit like when you load the next chapter of a game to me, but these are like kind of little mini chapters, and it sort of let me know that okay, you're actually progressing through this area. So I thought that was pretty decent. What else do I want to talk about with gameplay? Because that's kind of what I'm trying to focus on right now. Could talk about haptic feedback. There's some in this game. Most of it is for cutscenes, and it's pretty good. It's still kind of like, okay, Eva's revving the engine of the bike, and you can feel that rumbling through the controller. Something has slammed, or somebody is walking, and you can hear the tap taps of stuff. But it wasn't, I feel like it was maybe more just vibrations and haptic feedback. So I still liked it, but again, more effort could have gone into that. But again, as I've said before in the past, when it comes to like third-party games, which this obviously was, I don't expect haptic feedback as much because you've got, PC and Xbox, and if Switch is an option, those to sort of service as well. So haptic feedback only really kind of comes into things when it's more focused on exclusives. So there was that as well. What else do I want to talk about with gameplay? I don't know. Just found myself kind of mostly just getting frustrated with CQC stuff. So, yeah, that's the gameplay stuff, I think, really. Because didn't find it very impressive and very just kind of stuck in the past and half-assed. I didn't mean that to rhyme, if it did. but yeah, I'm just left just feeling a bit frustrated by it in terms of, okay, while the original would have been more clunky to play because there's the old clunky controls, it's like you did give us better controls in a way, but they're like a different type of clunky. I just find that so frustrating. Is there anything else for gameplay I want to talk about? I talked about dragging enemies, you do a lot of that in this game. No, that's it really. That's it on the gameplay front to me. Where do I want to talk about characters? Because I've got some thoughts on, not necessarily what happens to each character, but, you know, thoughts on each character. I guess I can do that in the spoiler section. But there's some interesting characters in this game, definitely. And I stopped kind of at some point, sort of, okay, it's called Solid Snake, but then I know that there's Naked Snake, and I know that there's Big Boss, and Liquid Snake, and there's clones happening in this story. And I guess it's up to you as an individual when it comes to the nitty-gritty of Metal Gear's story, whether it's any of the games, how much, because you can, if you want to, really, really delve into some deep lore and kind of try to get it. But I've listened to a lot of people over the years try to explain this story, and there's always some kind of just weird, like, it's interesting. It's very, very good. And I'll continue to play the Metal Gear games, like, if they keep remastering them, which I hope that they do. I'll be curious as to what the canon kind of is, and, you know, following the story and stuff, because that will be very interesting. It's just, yeah, do you follow the overall thing in each game, or do you get into the nitty-gritty of, like, everything? Because it is pretty great. It is pretty great. I mean, I don't know all of the actual story of Metal Gear, so I can't rate the whole thing here. This one arguably feels like one of the more simpler checkpoint ones, where it's like, okay, Snake is sent to do this thing. This other thing happens. His mission then changes slightly. Then there's a group of enemies that gets formed. Then you've got to take them down one by one. And you get told at the start of the game that you're going to have to fight this particular enemy. But for some reason it takes you the whole game to get to them, even though they're both up for fighting each other. But they just don't until the end of the game. I don't know. There's some interesting bits and pieces to that. So, yeah. What else do I talk about in the spoiler-free section? Because there's a bunch of things to talk about in the spoiler section. I don't know if you can tell, I'm very kind of like, I wanted more from this game. And I just feel disappointed that it just, it's like, okay, Konami, you woke up, you decided to make some games, but could you have waited until you were not half asleep still to do this game? Because I wanted it to be better. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm just disappointed by it. So, and in terms of the Kojima-esque stuff, very good. Very kind of fun. I prefer more of the bits where it's kind of like the Colonel, I think he was called the Colonel, is like telling Snake to press the action button. I thought that was pretty good. In terms of these characters and the Kojima-isms around them, it was fun, it was campy, and I do think this story and how it kind of not collides with the characters, but how it kind of obviously connects to the characters. It's like you're trying to tell this very serious war story, and I think that you do that successfully, or political story, war story, whatever. And it is surrounded by characters who are very silly and not funny, but silly and fun, and they don't get in the way of the story, which is great, which is where I'll give Kojima some good credit for that. But yeah, it was done well, but we can kind of talk about that a bit more in the spoiler section. Anyway, yeah, that's my spoiler-free section of the Metal Gear Solid Delta review. Just mainly walking away with frustrations here. And I tried to see, like, okay, is it me? Am I not playing the game properly? Do I need to learn some stuff? But I think it's just a case of you've got a half-assed new game stuck inside of an old one. And I'm just a bit frustrated by that. So, anyway. Alright, I'm going to do the outro here and then step into the spoiler section. So, if you've got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on the Metal Gear Solid Delta, did you enjoy it more than me, less than me? What did you think of the controls? That's kind of the main conversation here, because, again, the story is pretty much the same. What did you think of the new camera option? What did you think of the graphical update? I mean, yeah, everything looks great from a graphic standpoint of view. They did obviously a great job here with that. Anyway, your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk here, Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org for TV, games, films, maybe not a podcast. We had a bunch of stuff come out this week. Political Talk, Yellow Jackets podcast, Gaming Talk podcast, Gen V, and Breaking Bad. I just realized how much I've done this week, so. Yeah, and there'll be a United cast tomorrow for Sunday as well, and then we'll do some of the same things again next week. Anyway, check it out, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. If you want to support the work that we do, listen to them on the platforms I just mentioned, word of mouth, social media, and if someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options for that as well. If you'd like to, TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk for all of that. You can check out all those things over there. And then YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays, there's a few Metal Gear clips for me to put up. So look out for those as well. Anyway, join me on the other side for the spoiler section. See you for that in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, time for the spoiler section for Metal Gear Solid 3, essentially, or Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. I thought this was very, very good. Probably would have had more impact on me if I didn't know the story, but of course this game is, I don't know if it's quite 30 years old yet, but it's definitely older than 20 years. This PlayStation 2 story. My main points of conflict with the ending stuff is I'm torn on Eva's character. I liked her. But so you've got this story about how this boss person, the boss, who was very close to Snake, who's tasked with killing her because it will make him more patriotic towards his country, which I hate that kind of thing. That kind of like, you got to do this to be patriotic towards your country. And then you find out that it was all set up to throw her under the bus to get rid of her, essentially, if I understand that correctly. And then you have an emotional scene at the end where Snake, whichever one he is, cries at her grave while he salutes because he did his patriotic duty, which was killing her. And Eva knew about the thing the whole time because she has a long monologue to explain it, and unfortunately played Snake, and he didn't realize because he kind of sort of fell in love or whatever. I like the setup and the idea of all of this, and the backstabbing and the sort of political stuff. I did like all of that, and how seriously it did take itself. I thought that was very good. Maybe it's a case I'm not supposed to like what happens to the boss, and we're not supposed to like what happens with Eva necessarily. But it's like, okay, you gave me a sad political story about a woman who got screwed over, and then a woman who was like a double agent kind of thing, and teamed up with Snake. Because that's what it was. Surrounded by characters who can throw bees at you, poke their eye out to snipe you. Somebody who's called Sorrow, who is the dad of Snake, because Sorrow and the boss conceived Snake. Have I got that right? It is interesting coming off of this off the back of Death Stranding 2, where, I mean, Death Stranding 2 is worse than this because, it, again, purpose and all the other bits I talked about on Death Stranding 2 review. But it's an interesting one where it's like the basis of it, which is the bit that it's important that you understand, which is the basis of what kind of happened, surrounded by all these Kojima-isms and fun, interesting characters. So it's done very, very well. Again, maybe it just didn't leave the impact it did because I already knew, because this game is over 20 years old. I don't know. It's, I'll talk about the actual characters in a second. I'm just doing a story kind of, because I'm not gonna try and break this story down. I'll be here all day and I'll probably break my brain. Yeah, the phone call stuff was interesting, and then this describing everything was interesting. But I guess it just didn't really leave an impact, or I didn't really find it shocking because I guess I already knew. So, yeah. Anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on the story of Metal Gear Solid 3. Yeah. Alright, let's talk about some of these characters. You've got the boss. I've already kind of talked about her. You got the boss. You've got Solid Snake. I found a lot of these characters to be irritating. And also kind of like, two examples. I found Ocelot and Colonel Volgin to be very frustrating. I mean, I found Colonel Volgin to be frustrating because He's just one of them villains that just wouldn't die and is really, really overpowered. I also don't get why he doesn't just kill more people in this story. Maybe he's not allowed to, or I don't know. And he does try to kill Snake, so there's that. I found his boss fight to be real. I don't like Volgin at all, but I don't think I'm supposed to. But also, yeah, his boss fight was really frustrating. And that wasn't down to the controls, because you're actually supposed to do the rough CQC stuff and not hold him. And I accidentally held him a couple of times in that fight, and he just hits you in the back if you do that. That was a weird boss fight. The Ocelot boss fight was probably my favourite one. The one with in the woods and that, after you meet him for the first time. I found that to be probably one of my favourite parts of the game. But I guess because Snake in this game does say that he's very young. He's just this like young guy that just kind of won't get out of the way of everything. And he just, I guess he just really, really wanted to duel with Snake. So yeah, but he just, like the meow thing, like fine, whatever, cool, it's fun, Kojima-isms. I found it to be frustrating when he popped up, but it's like he's not really supposed to be there, is he? He's just kind of like, yeah. Like everyone kind of wants him to get out of the way so the serious stuff can kind of happen. So yeah, he was an interesting one. Eva's probably one of my favorite characters in the game. She pops up at cool moments. She does cool stuff. She is very cool. She makes us some great companion parts to Snake in some interesting moments. I don't think you have a boss fight against her, which I wouldn't have wanted to have that happen. So that was really quite good with Eva. So yeah, she was, apart from Snake, who's kind of supposed to be a favorite character, Eva was probably my favorite character aside from her. I realized way too late, by the way, that she was the girl with the glasses. I realized that way later than what I was probably supposed to. But I either didn't remember that was part of the game, or just it was pretty late in this game when I realized that was what was happening. I don't really know why it took me so long to realize. I guess I got fooled by the Clark Kent thing, right? The glasses. People always say with Superman and Supergirl about hey, it's just the glasses, how come you can't tell? I mean, Eva does dress very differently to whatever her other name actually is. What was her other name? It's not got it written here, but anyway. Yeah, found her to be really, really cool. Paramedic, so she's the one who kind of talks to you about films and stuff. And is there doing that, and you can use her to save the game. I found it interesting at the start of like her talking about these films. I liked one of the earlier ones. I don't know if it's scripted to be earlier in the game, but when she talks about Godzilla films, and I love how with each film she mentions that Snake's like, no, I didn't catch that one. It's like, yeah, you wouldn't really picture somebody like Snake being somebody who sits around watching films necessarily, because he's obviously busy with all the things he's doing. And I like the little kind of, they say in 20 years, obviously this is, you know, the past referencing the future that we're living in, I suppose. Hey, in 20 years, they say, well, you'll be able to load these things in your home theater and watch them yourself. And then Snake was like, I can't remember what he said, but he, you know, said that sounds kind of interesting or whatever. I liked that. Those were some good Kojima-isms and good kind of references and stuff. As a lot of people do say with the film references, that's probably just Kojima telling you the films that he's seen, which that was pretty cool. I did start fast-forwarding through them towards the end because it was kind of the same thing, but I did like that idea. That was one of my favorite early things in this game. But when I was near the end trying to finish the game off, and it was like, cool, save that, and I started fast forwarding through them, but that was pretty good. The Sorrow, he's in this game for a bit. You do a very weird bit where you have to kind of drown yourself. unless you can get through the thing without dying, which is really awkward. You drown yourself, die, use the life thing, come back to life, and then you end that part. I don't really have anything to say about the Sorrow. He's just one of them kind of weird Metal Gear villains. The more interesting part later was when the boss was talking about... No, was it Eva or was it the boss? I think it was the boss. Was talking about him and their history and everything like that. I thought that was quite good, but other than that, I had no real thoughts on Sorrow. So then you got the end, who I thought was quite cool. Of course, he's got like the iconic boss fight with... you got to find him, and... I didn't really do that fight correctly, but I did do the, it's funny because I looked up, like, I couldn't remember how you were supposed to do it, because there's a particular method, isn't there? And I started looking it up, and I came across information about, if you get a stealth takedown on him, you can get his sniper, and I thought, well, that's really, really good, and then I never used it. So, yeah. It didn't come with a silencer, and I didn't want all hell to keep breaking loose, so... I just didn't use it. He was cool. I like him. He's got, like, obviously the whole being old and the fact that you can kill him early, which I knew I could do, but I didn't. I kind of deliberately didn't do that, so because I wanted to do the forest fight with him. But I thought that was pretty good as well. It's got, like, his big eye and all that kind of stuff, which is interesting. But yeah, I took him down with the trank gun. So, which I didn't think I'd be able to do, but I did do that. One of my more favourite boss fights, apart from the Ocelot one, was the Fury. I think this is the one that is reminded me of Firefly from DC and Batman and that. It was quite cool. I found this to be just one of the more smoother gameplay parts as well. I think I put it on YouTube, actually, my full... it's like a 5-minute video. I think I did put it on our YouTube channel, so you can go and watch that. I think I put it up there. Yeah, just the corridor stuff, and again, with the clunky, awkward controls, or the not modernized enough controls, he's going in between each thing, you avoid the fire there, excuse me, wait for him to stop, and then, keep shooting him when you can. I used a few RPGs, which was great, and I just found it to be a very smooth boss fight, and I really liked it, and, there was almost like a certain Buzz Lightyear kind of... Like when he tries to take off at the end. I thought that was pretty good as well. I did hear that was supposed to be a reference to an astronaut. I'm not sure which one though. So yeah, I thought that was pretty good. That was one of my more favourite ones. Then we had the Fear. I hated that boss fight. I thought it was awful. It was just needlessly awkward to play. You got this bit where like you got to dive down. But then it takes Snake 10 minutes to get off the platforms. Because... For some reason, even if you dive off the platform, you don't automatically dive in the water, and then you have to press an old circle, which takes him 5 seconds to do, and then you go down in the water, but then the bees might get you. Yeah, didn't like that one at all. Didn't like that one at all. Wait, was that the right one? Because there's one... The Fear. I think that was the right one. Yeah, the one with the bees, if that's the correct one I'm actually talking about. Oh no, that was the Pain. Yeah, my apologies, that was the one called the Pain. I'm just looking through their photos. The Fear. Was that the guy in the trees? Because I quite like that boss fight. Again, it was kind of... I actually enjoyed like diving over all the different wires and stuff to not get yourself caught. Fell down a couple of holes a couple of times. But yeah, trying to shoot him out the tree and stuff, I found to be relatively simple. He did get me a couple of times with like trank darts, so just got them removed. Again, that wasn't an inconvenient one, because it was... I think you just used the knife to just get the trank dart out, rather than like, hey, knife, ointment, septic, bandage, and like 4 different things, because I think you had to do that when you get shot. So yeah, the Fear boss fight was the one I really liked. That's the one with the guy with the long tongue. It's the Pain that I didn't like. That was the one with the bees. I just found that to be very, very awkward to play. Yet again. But yeah, the fear I quite liked, just again shooting him in the trees and stuff. This was fun. Just had a good time with it. So I think that is, you got Sokolov. He played his part. He was the one that got shot in the knees, wasn't he? And then died. So I thought he might die at some point in the story. I didn't remember that he specifically died. So there's that as well. Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts. Metal Gear Solid Delta. Again, I kind of enjoyed parts and some bits of the story and some of the characters. I enjoyed some of the gameplay parts, the ones that weren't awkward. The story, again, because I just kind of knew it. Unfortunately, it didn't really impact me as much. That's not really this game's fault, though. But I just can't really recommend it. Hence the skip rating. But given the fact that it actually took me 2 days to decide what rating to give, does say something about it. Because there are some good parts in this game. But they're just not enough of them, I think. So yeah. Anyway. Alright, that's it. Thank you all very much for listening. And I'll see you next time. Goodbye.